Okay, today's daf is Kuf Zayin. We're going to start about seven lines down. Kuf Vav Amabet, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shlosha malachei chabala nizdamnu lo ledoeg. Okay, remember we were talking about the four hedyotot who don't get olam haba, so we're now up to doeg and achitofel. So there were four malachei chabala that were in charge of doeg. Echad shechach tamudo, ve'echad shesaraf nishmato, ve'echad shebizer afro bebatei knesiot bebatei medrashot. Okay, so there were three malachim, and each one had a job. This sounds like the three malachim with Avraham. So one made him lose all of his learning, because remember, he was a big Talmid Chacham, we learned. One burned his neshama, and one sprinkled his ashes all around the Batei Knesiot and the Batei Midrashot. Now, this actually is looked at as a positive thing for the most part, because if his ashes are sprinkled in the Batei Knesiot and Batei Midrashot, then people are going to be Mevakesh Rachamim Alav. So there are... It's viewed by some as a positive thing, and according to this, he actually has chelek olam haba. Amar b'yochanan, doeg v'achitofel lo ra'u zehze. Okay, they didn't overlap time-wise. Doeg b'yamei Shaul, even though you might have thought so, right? We have these people who span multiple generations that we've seen. Somehow seem to be really, really old. So according to this, they didn't see each other. And the reason is because... What did we learn about Rishaim yesterday? That they died b'chatzi yimehem, so they didn't live very long. So do'eg b'yimei Shaul v'achitofel b'yimei David. V'amor b'yochanan, do'eg v'achitofel lo chatzu yimehem. Okay, they didn't get to half their lives. Tanya namihachi, another braita, anshei damim u'mirmai lo yichatzu yimehem. That was the pasuk. Kol shnotel shel do'eg lo ayu ele shloshim v'arba, v'shel achitofel eina ele shloshim v'shelosh. We had this discussion yesterday about... how long he lived? About Bil'am, right. About Bil'am, how long he lived. He was 33. Remember, it's a little strange why they say 33 and not 34. What's the issue there? Maybe it's here they want to rank them. In terms of Achitofel, it was a little worse, so he only made it to 33 years, whereas Do'eg made it one extra year. Maybe all the Torah he had learned gave him one extra year of Zchut. I'm not really sure what to make of that 33. Remember, this is all based on the Yimesh Otenu Bahem Shavim Shana. People's lifespan is 70, so he didn't reach half. Half would be 35, so he had to die before that. Okay, now we're going to learn that Achitofel was also a big Talmid Chacham. And first, the relationship between David and Achitofel was his student. Okay, he called Achitofel Rabo. Ulebasov kara ochavero, and then later he became his colleague, his equal. Ulebasov kara otamido, and then later David called Achitofel his tamid. So Achitofel basically went down in rank. How do we see this? Betchilah kara o Rabo, because it says va'ata enosh ke'erki alufi umiyudai. Okay, you're my aluf, you're my miyudai, like you're my go-to person, my person of information, and aluf is an important person. Ulevasov karo chavero, asher yachdav namtik sod bevet Elohim nehalech beragesh. So together we come up with, you know, we come up with secret plans, or we try to learn. It's actually, I think, we learn the sod, right? And bevet Elohim nehalech beragesh. So we try to learn about God together. Ulevasov karo tamito, gam ish shlomi asher batachti. Bo, ochel lachmi, here's the reference. Ochel lachmi means he eats my lechem of Torah. Okay, the lachmi is Torah. Higdil alai akev, right? This is saying, here this guy who was with me and I taught him everything he knows, right? Then, what's he saying? He stabs me in the back. Okay, because remember, what did Achitofel do? He went with Avshalom to help Avshalom rebel against David. Which is really, again, whether he was his Rav, Talmid, right? It's trying to show Achitofel originally was the Yo'etz of David. So it makes sense, right? And the Gemara talks about in the Lashon of learning, the learning world. But really, he was David's Yo'etz. He was his advisor, which means even though the king's advisor isn't necessarily greater than him, but in terms of knowledge, sometimes the king has advisors who are smarter than him. So that's what they're saying. First he was smarter, then they became equals, and then eventually Achitofel went turned the other way. And, you know, it shows he went down in relationship. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav, and in stature. La'olam al yavi adam atzmo lidei sayon. Okay, remember this line, because we're going to get through this whole thing, and then you're going to forget where we started, okay? So what does this mean? It means you should never ask for a nisayon, okay? If God doesn't give you a nisayon, don't ask for one. Sharei Tavi Melech Yisrael, right? I know we get enough nisyonot in this world, right? We don't need to start asking for more, and we're going to see why you specifically really shouldn't ask. Sharei David Melech Yisrael Hivi Atzmo Lidei Nisayon V'Nichshal. David asked for nisayon, and because of that, he failed in the nisayon. Okay, we're obviously going to get to the story of David and Bathsheba. Okay, and they're going to say, according to this version of the midrash, he asked for it. Why did he want a nisayon? Amar lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, mipnei ma amrim Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, in the davening, right? Every day we say it. Why do they say, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, and amrim Elohei David, what about me? Okay, by the way, this is interesting because it's a bracha. We don't say it anymore. But the Bonei Yerushalayim bracha used to be called Baruch Atah Hashem Elohei David Ubonei Yerushalayim. Okay, if I remember correctly, because it just hit me right now. I forgot to look it up because I only thought of it right now. But I think there was definitely a different nusach of that bracha, and I think the nusach was Elohei David Ubonei Yerushalayim, which is just interesting in this context. Anyway, he says, why don't they mention me with the Avot? Amar, Inhu minsuli va'at lo minsali. They all had nisyonot, and you had no nisyonot because you had no tests. I didn't test you in any way, so therefore you're on a different level than they are. Amar lefanav ribono shelam b'chaneni v'naseni. So he says, please write b'chaneni, test me, and naseni, try me. Shneamar, here, where do we get this from? This all comes from Tehilim Kavav, right? Tehilim was attributed to David. It says, Bechanani Hashem v'nasani. Okay, so here you see, right? It's really Bechaneni. Sorry, Bechaneni Hashem v'nasani. Okay, so what do you see, right? Bechaneni Hashem, he's almost asking, according to the Peshat of that pasuk, you could read it as, Bechaneni Hashem. He's asking, please test me. So Amar, so God says, okay, min sanalach, okay, I will test you. Va'avidna milta bahadach delididhu loho datani. And I'll do something, one second. Va'avidna milta bahadach delididhu loho datinu. I'll do something to you that I didn't do to them, I guess is what that's saying. That's what it means. Ve'ilu ana kamodina lach. Ah, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to test you in a way that I didn't test them. Okay, how so? Ilu ana kamodana lach te minsina lach bedvar erva. Okay, so he says, I'm going to tell you what the test is going to be, right? What the nature of your test is. The avod had no idea that they were being tested. He's saying, right, it's like a teacher saying, I'll give you the questions before the test so you'll know exactly what I'm going to ask you. That's what he says. Almost like I'm even going to make it easier for you. I'm going to tell you that your test is going to be on erva. Miad, vayhi le'et erev, vayakam David me'al mishkavo. Okay, so right as the story of David and Bathsheba starts, it starts like this. It was le'et erev, and David gets up from his bed. Now, this is strange. What are you doing in your bed in le'et erev? It's not a time that people are generally in bed. So why was he in bed? Interesting interpretation here. Amar of Yudah, shehafach mishkavo shel laila le'mishkavo shel yom. He said, I'm going to switch things around. I'm going to sleep with my wife during the day and not at night. Why so? So that, okay, nitalma mimenu halacha, he messed up on a halacha. It's interesting, you wouldn't really view this as a halacha. But what it really means is he got a little confused by the way things work in the world. He thought that Eber Katan Yesh Ba'adam must be Ora Ev Umar Ivo Savea. In other words, this is what he messed up. Person has an evar, meaning the evar hamin of a person, right? So the yetzer hara for ta'avot. If you're masbi'o, if you give it a lot, then it's going to be hungry more. In other words, the more you have sexual relations, the more you're going to want sexual relations. But mar'ivo, then savea, right? But if you starve it, then you'll be satisfied, okay? If you get used to having sex much less, then you won't desire it all the time. So therefore, what was his mistake? He thought, if I sleep with my wife during the day, I'll get rid of my ta'ava for sleeping with someone. And if I see a woman, so I won't go after her. Okay, and that's what, since he knew what his nisayon was, he said, well, let me prepare myself. But, right, because if he sleeps with someone at night, he's not going to go walking around at night seeing women. So it won't bother him. So he kind of messed up. He thought that would help him, but in the end, that was what did him in. V'yitalech al gag beit ha-melech. He was walking on the roof of the king's house. Vayar isha rochetzet me'al agag, and he sees this woman bathing on the roof. Vayisha tovat mare me'od. Okay, and she was very beautiful. So now, what's the background story? Batsheva hava kachayfa reishe tote chalta. She was shampooing her hair underneath a chalta. This could be translated as a beehive. It could be translated as a tub. It could be translated as
a
mat. What does it say there?
Cone.
A cone. Okay. So she was under something. Ata Satan, here comes our famous Satan, right, that really started from the story of Eov and gets placed in all sorts of other places. Comes the Satan, idmele kitziporta. He dresses up as a bird. Patach begira, okay, so he sees this bird, and what does he do? He shoots the bird, okay? Pat kalachalta, and when he shoots the bird, he shoots the, whatever this chalta is, and it explodes. Igalye v'chazye, okay, and then she's basically up there with, you know, no covering. And he sees her. What'd you say?
She's still calmly
shampooing.
Well, she might have tried to grab for something, but I'm not sure there was much up there. Miad, vayishlach David vayidrosh leisha. So immediately David goes to ask who this woman is. Vayomar halozot batsheva bat aliyam eshet uriah chiti. Vayishlach David malachim, right? He finds out who she is, and she's in fact somebody's wife. So he immediately sends messengers. They take her and she comes to him. Now we're going to find out why she was bathing there, washing her hair. She had just gone to the mikveh. Okay, she was preparing herself for the mikveh. Why the pasuk tells us this is a good question, right? Why this is the pasuk in Shmuel. The question is, why do they tell us specifically that she was coming out from being nida? Vatashav el beta, and then she goes home to her house. Vahainu dichtiv, bachanta libi pakadati laila, seraftani baltimtsa, zamoti balya avorpi. Okay, Amar, what does this mean? Okay, bachanta libi, right, this is David talking again in Sefer Tehillim. You tested my heart, right, pakadata laila, it happened at night, seraftani baltimtsa, zamoti balya avor. In other words, it wasn't found my strength. In other words, I couldn't withstand it.
There's not a lot of evidence that he tried. He knew he was being tested. There's no indication that he even.
So that's exactly what the Gemara is telling us. No, what did he do? He slept with his wife during the day. That was his attempt.
Right, but once he saw Bathsheba, he didn't hesitate.
Right, but it's saying he messed up.
To get to her, I mean,
I want to say something about the Nida thing. Guessing here, but maybe that's part of David's sin, is that it's not only that he sends Uriah out, but he's preventing
her from having
another child. Yeah, from a
right,
child.
From having that moment with her husband. Right. Okay. So now, what do we do about this pasuk? What is it? Where the darshan from? Zamoti bal yavor p. Amar iku zamema nafal bepume deman desanele. If a zamema is a muzzle, if they have put a muzzle in the mouth of the one who hates me, which means myself. In other words, if I just remember how this started, don't ask for nisayon. So now he says, if I just put a muzzle in my mouth, v'lo amar ki hamilta, right? And I hadn't said anything, I'd be in much better shape. But look what happened. I opened my mouth. I asked God for nisayon. I failed. And, you know, and now my life is ruined. Ki hamilta darash rava. My dichtiv, so he darshaned also something. My dichtiv lamanasech l'David b'Hashem chesiti echtemru l'nafshi. Okay, here's the part we're going to darshan. Nudi harchem tzipor, which means flee like a bird to your mountain. Amar David l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shalom, mechol li al oto avon, shelo yomru har shebachem tzipor nedadito. Okay, right? David says, please forgive me. We're going to see this theme all throughout this. This David begging for forgiveness from God for what he did. So the people don't say, what's this connection between the Har and the Tzipor? That a Har, a great man like David, was basically thrown aside by a Tzipor, which was the Satan who dressed up as a Tzipor. Darish Rava, another drasha of Rava. Mai dechtiv lecha levetcha chatati, v'ara be'enecha asiti. Liman, here's the important part. Okay, so according to you, I sinned and I did bad in your eyes. Liman titzdach bidvarecha, in order that you be justified in what you said, and tizkeh b'shoftecha, and that you be zakai in your judgment. Amar David b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what does this mean? Galya v'yadiyah kamach, It's revealed before, it's so obvious to you. There's an interesting line. Okay, guess what Ruth says? I totally could have resisted my temptation. Ella, but why didn't I do it? Amina de lole mu'av da zachi lamare. So the people don't say the Eved won out over the Adon. In other words, God was smart enough to say, I know you won't stand up to your test, I'm not going to test you. But David suggested, oh, why don't you test me? So once I asked for the Nisayon, and you clearly didn't think I could stand up for it, God, well, I didn't want to make you look bad that I could stand up to my Nisayon. So, you know, but if it weren't for that, I clearly would have. This is a bad excuse, I would say. Okay. Darish Rabba, my dechtiv, ki ani letzela nachon, umachovi lenegdig tamid. Okay, nachon always means ready, or it doesn't always mean, but often means ready. Okay? So, letzela means to stumble. Okay, but now we're going to use tzela. What's a tzela? Also a rib. And what's the rib? An image of a man and his wife, because the tzela was taken out, right? And alken nidvak avivi, nidvak ba'aken. Yazavad avivi ma'avadavak bishto. Okay, so, it's the tzela as a reference to who was designated to you from the beginning. So here we're going to see, interesting, u'machovil negdi tamid, and my pain is always before me. Okay, believe it or not, but she was the one who was destined for him. Ella, but what's the problem? What's the pasuk right? Ani letzela nachon. She was my tzela, okay? But what does the pasuk say? Umachovim lenegdig tamid, right? Ella sheba ela b'machov, right? But he slept with her in a painful way, right? He basically raped her. V'chein tana debe Rabbi Yishmael, ruya ita David lebat sheva bat aliyam, ela she'achla paga. He ate her before she was ripe. Okay, meaning that the time was not ripe for it. He was supposed to marry her. He was supposed to marry her once Uriachiti naturally died. And then she was supposed to be for him. But he kind of did it in, you know, either in the way of Machov or before the time. Darish Rava, another drasha of Rava, my dechtiv, ubitzal isam chuva ne'esafu, ne'esfu elai nechim, v'lo yadati, kar'u v'lo dam. Okay, so what does this mean? Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ribono shel olam, galuy v'yadu lefanecha, she'im hayu kor'im b'sari, okay, now we're going to darshan this, kar'u v'lo damu, damish shotet. Lo haya damish shotet. If they rip my skin, there would be no blood. Okay, we're going to talk about what's the reason. What's malbin pnei chavero? You embarrass someone, and what's the word malbin? Lavan. He turns white. He has no blood in him. So now he's going to talk about bitzal'i. What's bitzal'i? Maitzela, meaning batsheva. Samchu. I'm going back to the pasuk now. Samchu. They rejoiced. V'ne'esafu. Nesfu alai nechim. All these nechim, crippled people, came upon me. You know, I would say gathered up against me. We're going to see all the details in a minute. V'lo yadati, and then kar'u v'lo damu. They could rip me and I'll have no blood. V'lo ad ela shebesha'ashe moskim ba'arba mito beitin. Again, we keep having these references. While they were sitting learning, arba mito beitin, poskim mi mishnatan, they stopped their learning. V'omrim li David. They say, ah, David, habal eshet ish mitato b'ma. By the way, David, what's the halacha of someone who sleeps with an eshet ish? Right? They're clearly trying to embarrass and humiliate him. B'meh, amarti lahem, habal eshet ish mitato b'chenek, v'yesh lo chelek l'olam haba. He dies with chenek, but he has a place in olam haba. Aval, here he continues, hamalbim p'nei chavero b'rabim ein lo chelek l'olam haba. But he goes and says to them, but what you're doing is way worse than what I did. Okay, and you see how David's struggling, according to this version, right? He's struggling with the embarrassment that his act caused him. Amrav Yehud Amarav. Afilu b'shat chalyo shel David. Now we're going to see something good about David, even when he was sick, but it's a little bit of a strange thing you might find. Kiyem shmona asrei onot. Okay, he slept with his, well, this is interesting in terms of, you're talking about the onah batsheva, that what's the onah? It means when she gets home from the mikvah that night, that's the night that people are supposed to get, you know, it's more likely someone could get pregnant and it's time of ovulation. And he's basically saying that there he slept with Batsheva and he stole it from someone, but maybe this was his way of repenting for that. And he made sure that even when he was totally sick, he went and made sure to go to all his wives on the day of the night that they came home from the mikvah.
I'm not sure they appreciated that.
Well, according to this, it was a positive thing.
Yeah, but he was sick.
Yes, okay. Anyway, so they're not getting into such detail, that resolution. Kiyem shmonasrei onot shenemar. Where do we, okay, you know, never look at this pasuk the same way again. Yegati be'enchati, Eschei b'chol laila mitati, b'dimati arsi emse. Arsi is my bed, emse is milashom ma'us. Like, I made the beds dirty from having sexual relations, b'dimati, as I was crying. Okay, the point is that he, right, eschei b'chol laila mitati, every night he made sure to go to his wives even though he was totally sick. Okay, it's a strange interpretation of that pasuk. V'am rav Yehud amarav. Bikesh David lavod avodah zarah. Now we're going to see the strange pasuk where David, when Avshalom is trying to rebel against him, he goes and he worships avodah zarah. Very strange pasuk. Shneamar v'hi David ba ad harosh asher yishtachaveh sham leElohim. He comes to this rosh where he will bow down there to the god, or I don't know exactly how to read, or he is bowing down there to the god. It's a bit of a strange pasuk. What?
This says used to.
He used to bow down. Okay. Ve'ein rosh el avodah zarah. So first they say rosh is a pesel. Shneemar v'hu tzal mareshe di dahav tav. It was a tzelem of a rosh made of good zahav. This is from Daniel. V'hineh, okay, so that just means it was avodah zarah. Now what happens while he goes to this place? V'hineh l'kreto chushiarki karua k'tunato v'adamal rosho. Okay, his cloak is ripped and he has dirt on his head. Amar lo l'David. Yomru melech shekamotcha yavod avodah zarah. He says, why are you worshiping avodah zarah? People are going to say, king like you worship the avodah zarah. Amar lo melech shekamoti yahargenu b'no. They're going to say worse than that. They're going to say, my son, a king like this, his son kills him. Mutav yavod avodah zarah va'al yitchalel shem shamayim b'prehesya. He says, it's very interesting, you can argue this, but he says, it's worse for people to say that Avshalom killed his father, because that's showing where's the way of God in this world. If God allows a son to kill someone so great as David HaMelech, and that's going to be a huge Shem Shamayim, Chilul Shem Shamayim. But me, going to worship Avodah Zarah, that's less of a, even though we always talk about Avodah Zarah as Chilul Shem Shamayim, and Yareg Val Yavor, right? Again, this relates to also to things we saw, but he felt like that was going to be much worse. So that's why he said, better I'll worship Avodah Zarah, and then people will say, why? Because then once he worships Avodah Zarah, he'll get killed. They'll say, oh, Avshalom killed his father because he was, deserving of death because he worshipped Avodah Zarah. Okay. So now, what happens? What does Hushi answer him? Or Hushai? Is it Hushai? Hushai. So what does Hushai answer him? He says, Amar Maitaima Kanasi Yifat Toar. He says, why did you marry a Yifat Toar? Okay? Because Avshalom's mother was an Esha Yifat Toar, which is right, one of this woman taken captive in war. And according to this, she was a Yifat Toar. So Amalei, what's wrong with the fact that I married Yifat Torah? Yifat Torah, Rahman Asharia, the Torah matures us to marry Yifat Torah. There's nothing wrong with that. Amalei, lo darashta smuchin. What do you mean? You don't darshan smuchin? Desamechle, right next to Isha Yifat Torah, what does it say? Next section, ki yel ish ben sorer moreh. Actually, I don't remember the order, if it's before or after. But anyway, it's right next to ish ben sorer moreh. What do they say? Kol anosei Yifat Torah, yesh lo ben sorer moreh. In other words, everyone, what does he say to him? Everyone will know that Avshalom was a ben sorer moreh because his mother was a yifat toar, and therefore won't be the shem shamayim mitchalel b'farhestia. That how could it be that David HaMelech was killed by his son? No, his son was a ben sorer moreh, and therefore they'll look at it that way. Again, by the way, what's causing this? David's bad relationships with his wives. In fact, he married a yifat toar. Right? Even though this is also about yifat toar, it's always a strange thing. How could we allow someone to marry a yifat toar? The whole sugya is strange. So this is saying, well, it's allowed, but it's not recommended. Derash Rabbi Dustai Demimbiri. Lama David Dome, Le Socher Kuti. He's like a Socher Kuti, who basically every time he comes, he lowers the price. Okay, every time you come to buy something from him, he keeps bargaining. You keep bargaining with him and he lowers the price. Amar David Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Shkiyot Mi Yavin. Okay, so David goes to Hashem and he says, come on, can't you understand that people make mistakes? So please forgive me for the things I did accidentally. Amar lei shvikila. So Hashem says, okay, I'll pardon you. Umin hishtarot nakeni, and please cleanse me now from things that I did in secret, on purpose, b'mezi, but in secret. So God says, shvikilach, I'll pardon you. Gam mizeidim chasoch avadecha, also from the zeidim, right, the things I do b'mezid, b'farhes, yeah? So shvikilach, God says, okay. Right, this is all obviously one long pasuk, right? Shkiyot miyavim hishtarot nakeni. Okay, Okay, what is this? Delo lishtabu be rabbanan. He says, I don't want the rabbi, lo lishtu be rabbanan. I don't want the rabbis to be talking about me. Some people say, I don't want them to say, en lichelik olam haba, or other, there's other possibilities what exactly this means, but I don't want them saying bad things about me, like the midrash, like the one we saw before about them, you know, bad-mouthing him in the Beit Midrash. So what does he say? Shvikilach. Okay, I'll pardon you on this too. Viniketi mi pesharav. What's this? Shaloich tefu sirchuni. Shaloich hatev sirchuni. That they don't say that I cause bad to happen to them, I guess this is. Sirchuni. Shetim chokota parshamin amikra. Ah, right. Ah, sorry. Shaloich hatev sirchuni. I read it wrong. Right, Rashi says, I don't want you to write the whole parsha in the Tanakh. Okay, please just wipe out this whole parsha Bacheva. Just erase it. Yeah, Akan, you've forgiven me. Let's just, right? This is where he keeps bargaining, right? He wants more and more and more and more. So now, what does God say? Obviously, he doesn't answer this one. Amar lo iefshar. Okay, why? Umay yud shenatalti, this is a very strange line here. Umay yud shenatalti misarai, when I changed her name, right? And I changed it to hey. Shenatalti misarai, omei v'tzoveach kama shanim, ad sheba Yoshua v'osafti lo. Okay, Shneemar v'yikra Moshe lo Shea binyun Yehoshua. Kol ha'prasha kula alacha kama v'kama. Okay, the yud that I took from Sarai and only returned it back in the time of Yehoshua when he got a yud added to his name. Okay, they're connecting between her losing the yud and him gaining a yud. Was screaming all that time. If I can't even take out one letter, of course I can't take out a whole parsha. So, sorry, but I can't do it. I don't know what to make of that yud thing. V'niketi mipesharav, amar lefanav, ribono shalom, a different parshanut of this, v'niketi mipesharav. So God says to him, he says to God, ribono shalom, mechol li aloto avon kulo. Amar, kfarati shlomo bincha lomar, b'chochmati, hayechte ish eish b'cheko, u'b'gadav lo tisrafena, im yaloch ish al g'chalim, v'raglav lo techavena, kein habal eshet re'eyu, lo yinake kol anogeaba. He basically says, Your father Shlomo, your son Shlomo, basically is going to say, right, just like you can't go in a fire and your clothes won't get burned, you can't sleep with an Eshet Ish and think that it's just going to disappear. In other words, what you've done, yes, I can forgive you, but it can't be totally eliminated. So Amarle, kolachi nitrad ahu gavra, you're going to make me suffer so much. In other words, what can I do? Can I do something? Amarle kibel alecha yisurin. You can take upon you yisurin, and that will be your way of repenting. Kibel alav, so he accepted upon himself yisurin. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shishah chodeshim nitzarei ad avid, v'nistakai menu shchina. Okay, this was his punishment. This was his yisurin, I should say. For 6 months, he was mitzora, and God was not with him. Upershu mimenu Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin separate distance from him. How do we know this? Nitzdere adachtiv, tichteini be'ezov ve'etaher, tichpaseini u'mishela galbin. Okay, so what's the ezov? The ezov is used for the mitzohah. So they connect this with that he was a mitzohah. Nistakai menu shchina, how do we know that? Tichtiv ashiva li sason yishecha v'ruach nidiva tismecheni. Okay, this shows that, right, how do we know the shchina left? Because he says, return to me the sason yishecha v'ruach nidiva tismecheni. Bring back your ruach. Return your yireim to me, those who fear God. And how do we know that he was sick with Sarah for 6 months? Okay, so there it says 47 in Chevron, 33 in Yerushalayim. In a different place it says, 7.5 years. So why were the half years, right? Why were they not mentioned in the other section? Must have been, he wasn't ruling actually, and therefore he had sarat, and he was out of the machane. So what does God say? Right, these psukim should all be very familiar to you from various Tehillim. Right, so he says, give me an ot letova. I want to know, right, I need some sign that you forgave me, some public sign. This is, by the way, like we saw in Sanhedrin earlier with in the third parak with the psulei edut. When do we accept them back? When do we know that they did tshuva? So here it's saying, I need a sign so that people know I did tshuva. It's not enough that, okay, between me and you, but I'm a king. I need people to know that I've done tshuva. אמר לה, בחייך איני מודיע, אבל אני מודיע בחיי שלמה בנך. I'm not going to be able to let it known, be known in your lifetime, but I will let it be known in Shlomo's lifetime. When did this happen? בשעה שבנה שלמה את בית המקדש, ביקש להכניס ארון לבית קודשי הקודשים. What was the problem with bringing the Aron to the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim? The Shar was 10 Amot, and the Aron was 10 Amot, and there was no space for the Aron to get through, and also the people to carry it. It just didn't fit through the door. Davkush, according to, right, that's the Pshat, but what happens here? Here, they say it was miraculous. What happened here? Davkush Arim Zebazeh. Okay, so the according to this Midrash, right, the gates, like, kind of went into each other and closed up, and you couldn't get the Aron into the Beit HaMikdash. Amar esrim va'arba arinanot. He said 24 lishanot of tefillah v'lo na'ane. It didn't work. Amar su'u sha'arim rashechem. Okay, now we get to what is this pasuk su'u sha'arim rashechem that we say all the time, right? So here's giving you a unique interpretation, right? Open your take up your heads. Hinasu pitchei olam. The pitchei olam, right, will be the yavo melech hakavo, right? So you'll open up the pitchei olam and yavo melech hakavo, which is the aron. מי זה מלך הכבוד? השם יזוז וגיבור, השם גיבור מחמה. ונאמר, שאו שערים ראשיכם ושאו פתחי עולם ויבוא מלך הכבוד. ולא נענה, it still didn't work. So he offers up this תפילה, doesn't work. כיוון שאמר, and this is something David, that Shlomo says at the very end, if you remember, when he dedicates the Beit HaMikdash, he has a very, very long speech that appears in Malachim and in Dibrei Hayamim. And toward the end of his speech, he says, השם אלוקים אל תשב פני משיחך, זכרה לחסדי דוד עבדך. Okay, he says, remember the chesed of David, miyad na'aneh. Okay, so what happens? Bo'ta sha'aneh, chupnei sonei David, kishulei akdera. All the people who hated him turn black, right? They're like a blackened pot. Okay, v'yidu kol Yisrael shemachal kadosh baruch hu lo to'avon. Okay, so they made this huge public display of not being able to get this stuff through the gates, and then all of a sudden he says, chesed David, and the walls open up. Okay, in the text there it says, here, I'll look it up for a second because it's Bet Vav. It says right after that, you'll see where they get this from. Sorry, one second. Bet Vav. Okay, it says, okay, right after, the pasuk after that says about the name Shkecha Zachra Lechastei David Avdecha Ukechalot Shlomo Litpalel Va'eish Ardam Yashmayim V'tochal La'olah V'azbachim U'kvod Hashem Alei Atabayit. It's the pasuk immediately preceding when everything happens, right? The Kvod Hashem comes down, like in the Mishkan. Okay, so okay, so now we're done. Okay, that was all this tangent we got off on David. Right? How did we get off on the tangent of David? Because we were talking about him compared to Achitophel. Okay? So we were on Achitophel. Now we're moving on. So we did the four-head Yotot. We had Bilam, Doeg, Achitophel. And now we get to number four, Gehazi. Okay? Gehazi was the Nar of Elisha. And we're going to see in the story of Naaman. Naaman had Sarad. He goes to Elisha and asks him for advice. We're going to see today what advice Elisha gives him and was he so willing to listen or not. But in the end, yes, he listens. He does the advice. He basically becomes cured. And then he tries to give Elisha gifts and Elisha doesn't want them. And then Gehazi runs after him and he takes the gifts. And because of that, he gets punished with Sarad and that's why he's considered Gehazi. Yes. So Gehazi takes the gifts and then he ends up getting punished as a result. So Gehazi, Dichtiv, Vayelech Elisha Damesek, Lehecha Azal. So first of all, it's a bit of a weird thing here. Usually it says Vayelech, one second. Instead of saying Vayelech, it should have said, forgot what it's right. Usually it doesn't say Vayelech, it says it in a bit of a different way. It should have said, one second. Right, Vayavo. Should have said, right, Vayelech and Vayavo, or he came to the city. So instead it says Vayelech. So they darshan that, Lehecha Azal, where was he going? Amar v'yochanan shalach lachzir Gehazi b'tshuva. Okay, he was really going for some other reason, okay, and then he happened to get there, and the reason he was there was because he was trying to get Gehazi to do tshuva, v'lo chazar. And he didn't do it. Amar lo chazor b'chai, says, b'chazor b'tshuva. Amar lo, kach mikublani mimcha, so Gehazi answers him that someone who's chote and is also machti achirim doesn't get can't do tshuva. So now we want to know, what did he do that was so bad, Gehazi? Right? Because according to what we know, he took the gifts from Naaman, who wanted to give him the gifts from, you know, having helped him, that were really miyuadim for Elisha, but Elisha didn't want to take them, and then Gehazi took them. That's not so bad. That's not choteh machtiyat harabim. So what's this machtiyat harabim? So what immediately do you think of? Machtiyat harabim. Who's the classic machtiyat harabim? Yeravam ben Nevat. So what did Gehazi? He must have been connected with Yeravam also. Mayavad. What did he do that was so bad? Ika da'amre, even shoevet talal chatat Yeravam. Behemida ben shamayim la'aretz. What did he do? He put this big even, maybe something magnetic, he hung up in the sky above the magnetic egle zahav that Yeravam built, and the magnet grabbed it, and it made the psalim look like they were suspended in midair, which made them look more magical than they actually were. So in that sense, he caused others to sin. V'igadamre, shem chakak b'fia. He put the name of God in the mouth of the Avodah Zarah. In other words, like a ventriloquist, you know, he made it speak. Okay, he made words come out of the pesel. V'ikadamre, Rabbanan dachami kamei, shenemar. Maybe he pushed rabbis out from before Elisha. In other words, he made it that, like, he kind of kicked, wouldn't let the rabbis in. Okay, shenemar. Why is this? After he's away, it says vayimru b'nei hanevi'im el Elisha, hinena makom asher anachnu yoshvim sham lefanecha tzar mimenu. The place that we're sitting at before you is very narrow. There's not enough room for all of us. Ma pitom, all of a sudden now there wasn't enough room for all of them. Before there was plenty of room because he didn't let anybody in. Okay, this is very similar to Rabban Gamliel, who wasn't letting people in the Beit Midrash. And again, they're using that same theme that they use in different places of trying to say this elitist attitude of I'm not letting other people in. Michlal dad hashta lo havitzar, right? From here we can infer that before that it wasn't tzar. Only right now there was not enough space. Tana Rabbanan. Lo olam tehe smol dochav yamim mikarevet. Lo ke'elisha shedachavo legechasi b'shtei yadav. Okay, here now we're going to learn that you should always use your smol to push people away, but at the same time use your yamin, which is always stronger, the stronger hand is the yamin, to bring people in. And what did Elisha do wrong? He pushed off Gehazi with both his hands. And as he pushed him off entirely, and he didn't try to, on the one hand, rebuke him, on the other hand, bring him in, right? Literally, with one hand and the other hand. Okay, so how do we know he did it? B'shtei adav, dechtiv, vayomer Naaman. Okay, so first of all, what happened with Gehazi and how was he pushed off? Ho'el v'kach kikarim, right? Take this bread. Vayifratz bo vayatzar kikarim lechem, kikarim kesef. So what happens here? They're giving you like parts of psukim. So let's just read the psukim inside for a minute. It's in Melachim be perek hey pasuk kaf gimel. Vayomer Naaman ho'el kach kikara. It's actually kikarim, two kikarim. Vayifratz bo vayatzar kikarim kesef b'shnei charitim. What? Right, ki krayim kesef b'shnei charitim u'shtei chalifot begadim v'yiten al shnei nara v'yisu lefanav. Okay, so he gives, this is what he gives to Gehazi. He gives him, right, yatsar, he wraps this ki krayim kesef, and he gives him shtei chalifot begadim. Okay, we'll remember that because we're going to see later, Elisha accuses him of taking much more than that. Okay, so he basically takes money and clothes from him. Vayomer elav Elisha, me'ayin Gehazi, where are you coming from? Vayomer aloha alach avdecha ana va'ana. I didn't go anywhere. What are you talking about? I was here all along. Vayomer elav, lo libi halach kasher hafach ish me'al merkavto likratecha. That's what, you think I didn't know that you went to go meet this guy in his merkava? Ha'e lakachet et hakesef, lakachta begadim v'zeitim v'kramim v'tzon u'bakar v'avadim u'shpachot. You took all this stuff. I know you did. What do you mean? He didn't take all that stuff. Kesev u'begadim hu deshaka. He only took kesev u'begadim. Amar bi Yitzhak botasha haya Elisha yoshev v'doresh b'shmoneh shratzim. If anybody remembers, there's a perek in Shabbat. At the time, Gehazi and Elisha were learning together shmoneh shratzim. Naaman tzar tzava melech haram haya. And he was the tzar tzava. Naaman was the army general of Aram. Hayamet Soha, he had leprosy. Amrale, Hayi Revita, the Ishtabai Me'ara Yisrael. There was a woman who was taken captive from Israel. Elisha Masilach. She says, if you go to Elisha, he'll cure you. Kiata Amrale Zil Tvobi Yardin. So when he gets to, now we're getting the whole background story. When Naaman gets there, Elisha tells him, go dip in the Yardin. Amrale says, Ahuke Kamachayachapi, are you mocking me? Right, so basically, what was he saying? The Yardin is like this ichsa water. I have these beautiful Naharot in Damascus. Why are you telling me to go dip in this river? Amre lehanu davu bade. The people who were with him said, "My nafkalach mina zil nase. What do you have to lose? Just go try." By the way, I thought that there was a connection between this nase and nisayon that we talked about in the beginning about David wanting a nisayon, and they're saying, "Just try it." Right? Aza v'tava biyardina v'itse. Even the itse. It's from Lashon of Lirapot, right? It's Aleph Samach Aleph is Aleph Samach Yud is the root. It's even similar to Nisayon. There's a lot of play on this Samach Yud reference coming up here. This Nun Samach Yud and Aleph Samach Yud. This Sharash keeps repeating. So he goes and he's healed. Ata Aitele Kol Hane Denakit. Right? So he wants to give him anything he can give him. Lotzave the Kabule Mine, but he doesn't want to take it, Elisha. Gehazi iftar mikame Elisha, right? So then Gehazi leaves from Elisha. Azal shakam adeshakal, and he takes what he took from him. Va'afkid, and then he was mafkid it in someone else's house. Now, he didn't want Elisha to see, right? If you steal something, you don't want people to know it's yours, you know, that you have it. So he goes and puts it in someone else's house. Ki'ata chazi Elisha. So how did Elisha know that he was there? Not just because he was a Navi and God told him. No, that's not why. He was a smart guy. What did he see? Chazi litzarat avapircha ilave reshi. He saw a little bit of a tzarat growing on his forehead and on his head. And he says, I figured out he must have been with Naaman and he got the tzarat from him. Because right, that's why the lepers go out of the city, because it's obviously very contagious. So Amarle, Rasha, higia eit litol sachar shmona shratzim. So he says, now comes the time to get the sachar, the reward, or here it's the opposite of reward, for Shmona Shratzim. And as you were learning Parak Shmona Shratzim, and instead of learning, you walked out and you went and did this, so now you're getting punished for taking eight things. Okay, you didn't count, but that list had eight things, even though he really only took two, to say this is a punishment for the Shmona Shratzim. Okay? Some people say it's Shmona Shratzim, it wasn't necessarily, why did they pick that parak? It's all about Tuma, right? And Sarad is Tuma, and okay. And as a result, what's going to be your punishment? That the tzarat of Naaman is going to be with you and your children forever. Okay, now we get to another pasuk where it says, Arba anashim ayu mitzara'im petach hashar. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who are those arba anashim? Gehazi u'shlosha banav. Okay, him and his three sons, it must have been, because what other people had tzarat that we know of, it must have been them. That's the law of diminishing personalities, right? That if people have tzarat, it must be people we know of who have tzarat who come up in other places. Tanya, Amar Bishum ben Elazar. Yetzer tinok v'isha. Okay, here's another thing about the tei smol dochev yami mikarevet. Oh, so by the way, why was Elisha merachek b'shtei adav? Because he gave him tzarat, which basically it excludes him forever, right? He basically pushed him away instead of bringing him back in somehow. He should have pushed him away and brought him back in. And here's a critique of Elisha, that he didn't help him to do tshuva. And that's why ein lo chelek olam haba. Okay, now we're going to see other characters that you should have b'smol dochev yamim mikarevet. Okay, I tried to think of a non-anti-feminist way to read this pasuk, this text. I couldn't really think of a creative way. Maybe you guys can. But the Yetzer Hara should be something you should push off b'smol, but mikarev b'yamin. In other words, this is, if you don't have a Yetzer Hara ta'ava for sleeping with your wife, then, you know, for sexual relations at all, then you're never going to sleep with your wife either. So on the one hand, you should push it off, like the bad part of it, but you should have a ta'ava for sexual relations, otherwise you'll never have children. So therefore, you should be, right, you should be mikarev b'yamin, even more so than your merachek. Isha v'tinok means basically you should rebuke them, right? Keep them in place, but also be mekarev, right? You should be mekarev more than you rebuke, but clearly they look at it, and this is why it's very hard to swallow, but that the husband's job is to basically keep his wife in place, right? Like, in other words, scold her with his small, but, you know, bring her and love her with his yamin, the same way you should deal with your children. Okay, maybe there's some other way to read it. We could look at children that way, and maybe wives in a different way, I'm not sure. Okay, I challenge anyone to come up with a better interpretation of what that could mean. Tana Rabbanan, Gimel Chalaim Chala Elisha. Okay, he was sick three times. We've actually seen this before. We'll try to finish this up quickly. He was sick three occasions. Echad shegira dubim b'tinokot. These tinokot called him alei kareach, baldy. And he basically brings these dubim and they kill the tinokot. And because of that, he got sick. Echad shedachavo l'gehazi b'shei adayim. That was the second time he got sick because he pushed him off, gave him tzara'at, which he shouldn't have done. Echad shemekbo. And then there's the last time where he got sick and he died. Interestingly, they don't connect this with any sort of event. V'lisha chaliyat chalyo. The pasuk is asher yamutbo. Okay, and that's how we get to this other drasha, which we learned before, which was very interesting drasha. Ad Abraham, yeah.
Elisha caused the death of people, and he didn't get punished as severely as Gehazi, who just stole.
Right, it is interesting, this whole thing, right? It's a whole thing you'd have to look at separately. This whole incident with the Dubim and why he caused their death and then doesn't really get punished for it is quite strange. It seems like a very harsh reaction to people calling him Alei Kereach, Alei Kereach. And you're seeing here that Elisha has a bit of a temper, right? He gets angry with someone for doing something and he goes all out. And the Gemara here is trying to say that's not acceptable. But as Naomi points out, he should have gotten punished much more severely. Okay. Ad Avraham lo haya zikna, right? There was no such thing as old age. Nobody got old. Kol dechazi la Avraham amar ha Yitzchak. Everybody thought that Yitzchak was Avraham was Yitzchak. So it was embarrassing for him. Called the Chazal Yitzchak, Amar Hai Avraham, right? Anyone who saw Avraham thought he was Yitzchak, anyone thought Yitzchak saw it was Avraham. It got Avraham annoyed. By Avraham Rachame, to have a Zikna. So he asked for Zikna. Shneamar Avraham Zakein Bab Yamim. Okay, and there we see he got Zikna. Okay, so if anyone feels bad about getting old, it's all Avraham's fault. Maybe it's like the way we started today, that watch what you ask for, right? Okay. Ad Yaakov lo hava chulsha. It's the same thing, like, that. What's very interesting about this is that everything has a positive and negative side, right? In other words, I was thinking about this book. I think I've quoted this once before about this girl who wants her mother to be able to read her thoughts and wants to, you know, like, it's annoying that I have to tell you what I'm thinking all the time. You ask me this, you ask me that. Just read my mind. And then it's annoying when everyone reads her mind and they realize, oh, she's bored in class. And the Ganenet says, well, you know, why are you so bored? And, you know, and watch what you wish for. There's a plus and a negative of everything, and be careful. Okay. Next stage was Ad Yaakov lo hava chulsha. People didn't get weak. By Rachamei hava chulsha. In other words, you just got sick right away. You just basically died. There was no progression. But Yaakov wanted to be able to talk to his sons, right? What do we say about Yaakov? He blessed all his sons. So he wanted to be able to bless all his sons and talk to them before his death. Shneamar v'yomer liYosef hinei avicha chole. Right? They told us, your father's sick. You better bring your sons. Ad Elisha lo hava inish chalish to mitpach. People, before Elisha's time, nobody ever got sick and got better. If they got sick, they died. V'ata Elisha ubay rachame v'itpach. But he asked for rachamim, and this maybe shows why he didn't get killed. Okay, according to Naomi, really, he should have died, and maybe he was supposed to die, but then he asked for rachamim and ends up getting saved. Just like David, by the way, who also should have died from what he did with Bathsheba, but ends up asking rachamim and gets pardon. Shneamar, but Elisha, how do we know that there was such a thing? Because Elisha chaliyat chaliyosh yamupo, which means he must have been sick other times that he didn't die, but this was the one that caused his death.